the Bay Area's favorite radio quiz show, Minds Over Matter. Tonight, your host, Dana Rodriguez, is joined by teacher cinematographer Cameron Shaw and teacher and Pulitzer Prize-winning wannabe, Lori Fisher.
If you ain't sure, you might. It's gotta be this or that.
And here's your Oscar wanna-winning Wabbit host, moderator Dana Rodriguez.
Thank you very much, David, and welcome to the fine-tuned machine that is Minds Over Matter. We've been on the air for almost 24 years now, so everything should be going perfectly.
It always goes perfectly.
But it never does, really. Not really. Anyway, welcome to Minds Over Matter. As I said, we are an audience participation quiz program, so of course we're welcoming your participation. That's very, very important. We want you to give us a call as soon as you can. We'll be giving you questions on current events, movies, history, literature, geography, television, radio, and just about everything else. Those two numbers are area code 415-841-4134. Again, that is 415-841-4134, or toll free. Yes, really, there's a toll free number. 866-798-8255. 866-798-8255. Let's see. Also want to remind you of our email address, which is mindsovermatter, MINDSOVERMATTER, at yahoo.com. That's Minds Over Matter, all strung together in one word, at yahoo.com. We don't read the emails while we're on the air, but they all get read. I know David mentioned to me that there were a lot of people who were asking about Jerry. I'm hesitant to tell you too much about what's going on with Jerry because he doesn't particularly care for that. So I'll just say he has some health issues that he's been dealing with over the last few months. So you can all wish him well. How about that? And we hope that at some point he will be able to come back and join us.
We really hope so.
We really hope so. And I know he misses doing the show. So our best to Jerry.
And I think he's listening. He frequently listens.
He frequently listens.
And has notes to give, especially you.
When he has nothing better to do, he will listen. And anyway, I know that all of you out there who miss him are wishing him well, as we are. All right. Also, I want to remind you that you can listen to us anywhere anywhere in the world simply by the use of a smartphone or computer at kalw.org. That is kalw.org. And if you'd like a podcast of the show, it should be available reasonably soon after our show tonight, also at kalw.org and iTunes, et cetera, et cetera. So, all that being said, we're going to start with a round of introductions and then a round of questions. And here's the first. Oh, by the way, we have a new person. Oh, well, new person to me anyway. She was here once before with Lori. Mm-hmm. Lori can bring in just about anybody when I'm not here. And
you ended up with me.
Yeah. But happily that
the lid is off.
It all worked very well.
David goes out of the country. We talk sports and Beatles music and have wonderful new people. Under the age, a certain age.
When the cat's away.
Yeah.
Cameron Shaw just returned from a week at family camp, which sounds boring enough that she tells people she was spelunking for, I really should read this beforehand, for
Dragons.
Cave Dragons. I'm sorry, I almost said Care Dragons.
Sorry, my handwriting.
I'm going to start that again. Cameron Shaw just returned from a week at family camp, which sounds boring enough that she tells people she was spelunking for Cave Dragons instead. That's better.
And I know Cameron for many weeks at family camp from her parents and our past.
It's a family camp.
Yeah. Lear and the Bear.
All right. Is this some sort of therapy thing?
In the matter of speaking, yes.
afterwards. There's the
all right. Oh, fine.
Thing.
Okay. You go ahead.
All right. For one of the few times in history, the name of all three panelists on Minds Over Matter tonight, Dana, Cameron, and Lori, can be happily used by either men, women, or whoever else would like to use them. We are all happy to share, and that was by way of introducing Lori Fisher.
Yes, it was. And our moderator, Dana Rodriguez, had his birthday yesterday. Happy birthday.
Thank you.
And after opening his gifts, only one question was on his mind. Where's My Pony?
Yeah. One of these years, I'm going to get one.
Yeah.
And we'll begin with Cameron Shaw.
All right. Who won the 1980 Grammy Award for Best Disco Recording, the only such award ever given?
How about Donna Summer?
That's an excellent guess, but no.
Oh.
So it's the only time that award was ever given.
The only time Best Disco Recording was ever given.
So they
given.
Canceled it after that?
I think they realized disco was on the outs.
It's already dead.
Yeah.
1980.
The Grammys are always about 10 years behind doing anything.
Yeah.
So.
But 1 year.
Gloria Gaynor.
Yes.
Oh. It's all Raining Men?
Well, there's only a couple of names.
For I will Survive.
I Will Survive.
Oh, there you go.
Very nice.
All right. Give us another question, Cameron.
Okay. Let's see. What is the name of the synthetic material created in the blast of an atomic bomb?
Ooh. This is definitely not a Gloria Gaynor type question. This is,
is it related to glass or something that they use in making glass?
Well, the substance is glass-like.
Right. It's
something with silicon?
Related to silicon too. Isn't
the name is related to an area where atomic bombs were dropped or tested.
Oh. So Los Alamos or something in that area?
Something in that area.
Alamogordo.
Yeah.
Alamogordite. okay. Ask the question once more, if you would.
What is the name of the synthetic material created in the blast of an atomic bomb?
Do they use this material for anything?
No. I believe it's collected by geologists and fans of atomic bombs.
Hoarders. Yeah. Your father probably collects
perhaps.
It. Yeah.
All right.
Is it? And it must be very radioactive stuff or not?
You know, I actually don't know about that.
Yeah. All right. Well, we have a lot of science listeners out there.
So collected by people.
Yes.
All right. Okay. Not old collectors, just young ones.
Yeah. Old collectors and no bold and old collectors. Yeah.
And Lori, why don't you go ahead, too?
All right. Well, I was struck by our names. You know, we all have names, Dana, Cameron, and Lori. So it made me think about names. And I got this great website from my daughter-in-law.
King Carol of Romania.
Yeah.
That's right.
Amelia Hoover Green, my daughter-in-law, gave me a great website that you all should know called Baby Name Wizard, which has everything you want to know about names. And what I wanted to know was how they've changed. So I looked up the most popular names in 1900, starting with these letters. So I'm looking for the most popular names, and I'm focusing on girls' names. So here I have five letters, U, O, Z, V, and B. So I'm looking for the most popular girls' names. I have the top two in 1900 for U, O, Z, V, and B. It's a really fun website. I want people to take a look at it, but that's my question.
1900.
1900.
Is Bertha one?
Bertha is the number one B girl's name and the 20th most popular name overall.
Well, I had an aunt that was named Bertha. So,
And was she, would she have been born, would she have been that old?
Well, she was my great aunt, so yes, she would have been born in the late 19th century.
Give yourself a bell on that. So we're looking for another B name and the UOZV names.
How about Zelda?
Zelda is the second most popular Z name.
Oh, very
good.
Nice. Excellent.
Okay, give her a pen. Okay, one more each maybe.
So Zelda, Bertha,
Ursula.
Yes, very nice.
Oh, very good.
Ursula is the second most popular girl's U name in 1900.
So you're just looking for O and V now.
Well, I'm also looking for that. I was looking for two each just to flush it out. So I'm looking for another B, Z, and U name.
Oh, okay.
As well as both O names and V names.
All right. Go over the whole thing once
again. Okay. So the 1900, the Baby Name Wizard gave me the top two girls' names in every letter. You can just type in a single letter. I'm looking for U, O, Z, V, and B. We got Bertha for B. We got Zelda for Z. And we got Ursula for U. And we're looking for the other one in each category and two more in O and V.
All right.
Yeah, fun names.
And let's see. Let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Sue from Berkeley.
Oh, hi, Sue.
Hi, Sue from Berkeley.
Hi. Hi, you all.
Hi.
I have two questions for you that are both about the month of August.
All right.
One about the month and one about the date today. So the month question is, why does August have 31 days, and where did the 31st day come from? Why does August have 31 days, and where does the 31st day come from?
I heard you the
and
first
the date,
time.
Sorry?
I heard you the first time.
Okay, just in case. And the day question, sorry, the day question is August 6th, 1991 is a really important date in the history of privacy. What happened on August 6th, 1991?
Is that anything to do with the Supreme Court?
No.
Does it have to do with net neutrality?
It's too
early. Probably too early.
I would say yes.
Oh.
Kind of.
All right.
Okay. So we're looking for why August has 31 days, and we're looking
right,
for
right, and
why
where did the 31st day come from?
Yeah.
Well, it must have come from taking it from another month, or is it because...
I think they added it.
They
didn't steal it, did they? Did they add it to kind of balance
they,
out?
They stole it. They kind of rearranged.
Is it because August was the month that the calendar was adopted, or the new calendar?
Well, it's around the time that the new calendar is adopted, but no, that's not the reason.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Augustus jealous of Julius Caesar and wanted to have as many days in his month as July does.
You are so right.
Oh, that's a
oh, very good.
And then he had to rip excellent. Off the day.
Who did he steal it from? Which month did he take it from? Do you know? Or did you?
You can guess. I think
from Julius. Were there 30? Because there's August and July are the only 2 months that have 31 days in a row. Right?
July.
What did I say?
No.
June.
From February.
Oh, February. Oh. That's how it lost the day.
Oh, all right.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Very good.
God, that's power.
Excellent. August 6, 1991. And it has something to do with the...
Something with email and computers? Are we on... Is that the right direction for the August 6th?
The right direction.
Yeah. No hint, though?
Well, that's a good
hint. That's a hint. Was AOL born on that day?
Good guess, but no.
No.
Okay. Would it have made the newspapers at the time?
I think probably. Now in retrospect, it seems it would have had to, but I don't know.
So it wasn't somebody's birthday who became famous. It was an event itself, right?
Right.
I do not know.
Leave it out.
Do you want me to tell you or leave it out?
What would you like to do? We can put you on hold.
I'll tell you.
All right.
It was the date when Tim Berners-Lee announced the existence of the World Wide Web.
Oh, okay. Wow. Okay. Oh, Cameron was
sort of
right on the right.
Yeah,
so
he was very close.
That's
yeah.
in the ballpark.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good.
Who knew?
Okay, have fun, you all.
Thank you, Sue.
Hi, Jerry, if you're listening.
All right.
Bye.
All right. Let me give you a couple questions. What very famous television character was named after the owner of an Oakland Chevrolet dealership? What very famous television character that we all know was named after the owner of an Oakland Chevrolet dealership?
Wow. And did that character on TV have anything to do with Chevrolets or auto dealerships?
Nothing.
So it's just a favorite, like Mannix.
Just the name that
like
the creator of the TV show loved and took it.
Is the dealership still in Oakland?
It is not.
Right.
And it's a unique-sounding name.
It is a very unique-sounding name. What very famous television character, we all know, was named after the owner of an Oakland Chevrolet dealership.
Is it first and last name, or is it one of those one-name things?
It's more of a one-name thing.
How about Kojak?
That's a good guess, but no.
But it's kind of like that, you know, like a distinctive...
Oh, yeah, very distinct. Yeah. Very distinct.
Matlock.
Nope.
Mannix.
This goes back to the 60s.
Okay.
So keep that in mind.
That's an advantage for me, Cameron.
Right.
Hey, I watched Nick at Night when I was a kid.
So once more, what very famous television character was named after the owner of an Oakland Chevrolet dealership?
That's cool.
And second question. The BBC did a poll a few years ago, and they asked, what were the three classic novels that were least likely to be finished by readers? And so they're all very well-known novels. And again, what three classic novels, according to the BBC poll, and I think they did BBC America too, so it might be US and the UK, were least likely to be finished by readers.
And should we assume they were written in English or not?
You should not necessarily assume that. Okay. But they would have been read in English.
Yeah.
So
they would have been not finished.
They may not have been originally written in English.
Well, I could name every book I've ever assigned to students, and they would be highly likely
finished.
They were not finished. I gotta try Moby Dick first.
That is, surprisingly enough, that was not even in the list of 10 that I saw.
So there are
only asking for three.
Yeah. So there are higher on the list were more unfinished.
I'm only asking for the top three.
How about Ulysses?
That is one of them.
All right.
Very good.
Work.
I did not finish that book.
That is number three.
Everybody at home, raise your hand if you did not finish Ulysses.
Right. So again, according to a poll done by the BBC, what three classic novels were the least likely to be unfinished by readers? And
I guess Crime and Punishment.
That is also very good.
Nice.
That is number two.
All right.
Very good. You're getting too good.
So just missing one more.
Right. And what very famous TV character was named after the owner of an Oakland Chevrolet dealership? And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Yes. The atomic artifact is known as green glass.
I have a different name for it, but that may be one name. I had more of a geology-esque
name. Well, we'll give you a tentative bell.
Yeah, sure.
Because she may have more scientific name for it. I don't know.
Okay, well, thank you much.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi. Sid, how are you?
Good.
So I have a question for your audience. Even if you know, please don't answer it. In the U.S., we use Fahrenheit for describing temperature, and most everywhere else, they use centigrade. But there is one temperature where centigrade and Fahrenheit are equal. Do you know which one? No, well, don't answer it. See if the audience can get it. Well, go ahead. Answer it if you know. Answer it if you know. Fahrenheit and centigrade exactly the same.
We just want to leave it to the audience.
Yeah, I think
leave it to the audience.
It's too okay. Low-hanging fruit for
us. I have a couple
us.
Of more interesting questions. All right. Every year, how many people get bitten in the U.S. by man best friend?
Oh, lots of people.
Take a figure.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's a lot.
Thousands. 10,000.
How many?
10,000.
Can you take a higher guess?
I'm going to say 500,000.
No.
Take a higher guess?
Higher.
Really?
2 million.
Is high, especially the children, a lot. I'll give you the answer. 4.7 million in 2016.
Uh-huh.
So everybody have kids. Please, please, please. Beautiful kid was killed, mulled by his grandmother's dog just a few days ago. And that actually what made me think about that question. Okay. I know Dana will not like that. And by the way, very happy birthday, Dana.
Right? Thank you. My
Dana
dogs
not like
are not
this,
happy with
this
you.
This second question.
Yes.
71.6 of the deaths. Well, how many people die? You know, we know 4.7 bitten, but how many you think die every year? Low number. Not very high.
Of dog bites?
Yeah, every year. 2016 is specifically, but that's the exact
I don't
number.
Know. Less than 1,000, maybe. Yeah.
No, only 32.
32.
Only 32.
See,
okay.
Bites them.
Yeah. All right. Of the 32, 71% were done by this breed of dogs.
<Uh-oh>. Is he going to be bad mouthing my.
Almost for sure. Do you know what kind of dog
Pit Bulls
Dana
again?
Owns? It's not Pit Bull. That's the too obvious answer, right?
Well, I'll say it. It's Pit Bull.
It is.
Now, the reason I care about that, because when I was 7 years old, back home, I almost was really killed. These dogs bit me so much. Not only I was so much injured, I had to take the 21 shots right in my stomach when I was only 7 years old. Yeah. And actually, the dogs were very smart. They were two German Shepherds. It was in our house, fifth floor, and they actually were trying to push me over the roof. They really were.
Wow.
They really were. And they belonged to a very nice single lady, redhead lady back in Cairo, who had the two dogs in her house. Anyway, that is just... I generally have very, very reserved ideas about dogs. Okay, second
Thanks.
Question very quickly. Old names. Which country we know today that old name was Phoenicia?
Cyprus?
No.
It's a
Middle Eastern.
Oh, Middle Eastern Phoenicia?
Yeah. Phoenicia.
You
know, they made the language we use today. The Phoenicians used ancient Egyptian hieroglyphics to make the ABC we use today.
I don't know.
I'll give you the answer.
All right.
Lebanon.
Lebanon. All right.
Okay. Second one, Carthage. You know that Dana answered that before.
Yes,
Carthage.
It's a Tunisia.
Tunisia.
Yes.
Babylon.
Iraq.
Very good. Persia.
Persia. That's
Iran.
Iran. Very simple. Kemet.
That's Egypt.
Egypt, it is. So Egypt don't only have one science, which is Egyptology, but two sciences named after it, which is chemistry.
Right.
Thank you, guys. Great show.
Right. Thank you.
Thank you.
And just a word to defend pit bulls. They're marvelously sweet dogs, very loyal, and it's all about how they're brought up.
Amen.
And they're terrific dogs, and I would recommend them to any family. So
it's a good public service.
And I have two pit bulls, and I know of which I speak.
Yes.
And let's see. Cameron, I believe it's your turn.
Okay. Well, speaking of original names, I have... I'm going to cross one of them out. I have five original band names, and I wonder if you can tell me what they've turned into, or what their more famous name is. The Warlocks, Tom and Jerry, The Square Roots, The Screaming Abdabs, and The Young Aborigines.
Tom and Jerry or Simon and Garfunkel?
Yes. Tom and Jerry or Simon and Garfunkel.
What was the last one?
The Young Aborigines.
Oh. And were the other ones once more? I'm sorry.
They are the Warlocks.
The Warlocks.
The Warlocks seem local. Are they a local?
It is a local.
Yeah.
Yes.
So are they...
Is that the Grateful Dead?
It is the Grateful Dead.
Yeah.
Dude, you're eating up the music track.
The Square Roots, the Screaming Abdabs, and the Young Aborigines.
Good, and
good question.
Let's see. If you'd like to join us, we have a couple of numbers here. First is 415-841-4134. Again, that is 415-841-4134. Or toll-free 866-798-8255. That is 866-798-8255. And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. We're here every Sunday at 7 p.m. Hope you're enjoying the show. Our panelists tonight, Cameron Shaw, cinematographer, photographer, and Laurie Fisher, professor emeritus, Diablo Valley College. And I'm your moderator, Dana Rodriguez. And you're listening to us on 91.7 FM. That's KALW, your local public radio station. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Fran from San Francisco.
Hi.
The girl's name is one Olga.
No.
Ophelia.
Not Ophelia.
The V, is it Victoria?
Victoria is not one of the top two, no. Good guess.
Vera?
Not Vera. She ends up being fourth, I think.
Oh, that's it on that. My question is, it was a program called On the Many Loves of Dobie Gillis. It was an old TV show.
Sure.
Right.
I want to know the character name of Dobie's blonde girlfriend.
Thalia Menninger.
Yes.
Right. Played by Tuesday Weld.
Tuesday Weld, right.
Yes.
One of my heartthrobs.
Yeah. Yeah.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
How about the character who played the beatnik?
Oh, Maynard G. Krebs. Played by Bob Denver.
Right. Correct.
Who went on to be Gilligan.
Right.
Not Gilligan, no. It was Maynard G. Krebs. Right.
Right, right,
yeah,
right.
Gilligan,
yeah.
Right. My next question is, name the seven dwarfs.
Ooh. Cameron's
sleepy, grumpy, happy, dopey, Doc.
Yes.
And
wow, you're five.
Two more.
Sleepy? Did you say sleepy?
Sleepy, grumpy, happy, dopey, Doc.
Bashful.
Bashful. Yes.
Very
and
good. Creepy.
No. Okay. There's one more. It starts with an S.
Sneezy.
Yes, you
very
got
good.
It. You really did.
That was, Cameron,
that was a group effort. Thank you, Laurie.
Well, Cameron, not. Yeah, that's good. She lit up.
You did it. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay.
And Laurie, it's your turn.
All right. So this is kind of in the Seven Dwarfs wheelhouse. I have here the names of five chapters that are chapters of well-known children's books or young adult books. I want to know what books these are chapters of. And that makes sense. The first one is Up the Mountain to Alm Uncle. Second one is Mrs. What's-It. Third one is The Cyclone. Fourth one is The Old Sea Dog at the Admiral Benbow. And the fifth one is Into the Primitive. So these are all chapter titles of really well-known young adults or children's books. Up the Mountain to Alm Uncle. Number two, Mrs. What's-It. Number three, The Cyclone. Number four, The Old Sea Dog at the Admiral Benbow. And last is Into the Primitive.
Well, The Old Sea Dog at the Admiral Benbow is Treasure Island.
Correct. Very nice.
And that's, they're talking about, that's...
Billy
Bones.
Yeah.
Right.
Give yourself a bell on that one. Cameron, I'll give you one.
Is The Cyclone from The Wizard of Oz?
It is. Very nice.
There you go.
All right. Maybe leave the other three out.
All right.
Even if you know them.
Why don't you repeat them then?
All right. So I'm looking. These are chapters of famous children's or adult books. We Up the Alm Mountain. Up the Mountain to Alm Uncle. Mrs. What's-It, and Into the Primitive. We got The Cyclone, which is in The Wizard of Oz. Thank you, Cameron. And The Old Sea Dog at Admiral Benbow is from Treasure Island, and Dana got that one.
All right.
Very nice.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, yeah, this is David in Oakland.
Hi, Dave.
Hi, I have a few answers. The one you just said, the mountain, I didn't hear the last part of the,
yes,
the chapter title, but is that from Heidi?
It is from Heidi.
Very good.
Great.
And then... to answer Ed's question, the Celsius and Fahrenheit meet at 40 degrees below zero.
Excellent. Excellent.
Yeah.
It won't stop him from asking it again, but thank you, yeah, for that. Maybe, yeah, I'll know it next time.
Right. Yeah, exactly. The young fish, I didn't hear, was Moby Dick guest?
It was guest, yes.
It was guest. Oh, it's one of the books that nobody finishes. Yes, yes.
Yeah, but it wasn't the right answer.
It wasn't the right
answer. That was
answer.
Not the right answer. Yeah. Really? Oh, well, I've never met anyone who's finished that book.
I have.
And then your answer for the Chevy dealer?
Yes.
That's Bullwinkle J. Moose.
That is correct.
Ah. No.
Bullwinkle. That's, yes. Clarence fabulous. Bullwinkle, Chevrolet dealership.
Oh,
yes.
That's a great question and answer.
Yes. Very good. Excellent.
Better than Kojak.
And then I have a question for you.
All right.
So the author of the one of the two biggest selling pieces of sheet music from the 19th century.
Mm-hmm.
On the banks of the Wabash, had a brother who wrote something more famous.
Right. The I think On the Banks of the Wabash was written by Paul Dresser.
Right.
And his brother was Theodore Dreiser.
Exactly.
Wow. Right.
That's right. Great. Who didn't write much music.
No, didn't write much music, but wrote a lot of interesting books.
Wrote a lot of books that weren't finished.
Yeah.
There you go.
Thank you very much.
Sure, you have a great night.
Thank you, you too.
That's great.
All right, we have a couple of lines open. If you'd like to give us a call, two numbers, area code 415-841-4134. Again, with a question or answer, 415-841-4134 or toll-free 866-798-8255. All right, a couple of weeks ago, and neither one of you were here, but I asked some advertising, famous advertising taglines. And as an example, if I were to say Wendy's 1984, what would you say?
Oh, where's the beef?
That's correct.
All right.
So you get the idea. So what I'm going to give you is the company and the year.
Whoa.
And I want you to come up with the advertising tagline.
Okay.
All right. So number one, Avis. Oh, let me read the list first. Number one, Avis, 1962. Number two, Miller Beer, 1950. Number three, Campbell Soup, 1935. Number four, Packard Cars, 1925. My grandfather used to buy a new Packard every 2 years. That's
really?
What my mother said. I never met him, but...
He's influenced by the tagline?
Maybe.
Buy one every 2 years.
Maybe. Yeah, not that, though. And number five is Clairol, 1964. So again, what is the famous tagline that goes with these products in the year? Number one, Avis, 1962. Number two, Miller Beer, 1950. Number three, Campbell Soup, 1935. Number four, Packard Cars, 1925. And number five, Clairol, 1964. Okay, I'll give you one each for now.
Yeah, you should go first, Cameron. You know any?
I'm not sure that I do. Is Campbell Soup the good?
That is correct.
Okay. Oh,
been using
it's
that
from
long.
1935.
That's
wow.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, very good.
Is Avis We Try Harder?
That is right. Oh, wow. We Try Harder, 1962. Okay, so we still have...
Leave the rest out there?
For now, Miller Beer, Packard Cars, and Clairol. Miller Beer, 1950, Packard Cars, 1925, and Clairol, 1964. I think Packard used the... until they stopped making them.
Wow. Which was when?
The 60s.
Yeah.
So
I think I might know the other two, but we'll wait.
All right. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Ed in Massachusetts.
Hi, Ed.
I'm going to start calling earlier in the show because all my answers get taken.
Do that.
Let's see. Bertha, Ursula, those are all my guesses. I don't have any other women's names. Did you get your third unfinished book? I couldn't quite...
No, maybe we did not.
How about War and Peace?
That is correct.
Oh, nice.
War and Peace.
I actually finished it, and by the time I got to the end, I couldn't remember how the thing started.
Oh.
It starts with war.
Yeah.
It starts with war.
Yeah.
The Young Aborigines were the Beastie Boys.
They were indeed. Nice. Excellent.
Good job.
Mrs. What's-It is from one of my favorite books of all time, A Wrinkle in Time.
It is.
Very
wow.
good.
Ed, you're hot.
I knew Treasure Island. I knew The Wizard of Oz, but I knew the Simon and Garfunkel. I don't know any of your advertising slogans, so I think I'm done.
All right.
And I've got a question for you. We're going to a little American history tonight.
All right.
I found this website, and I thought it was fascinating, and I made a question out of it. The mean center of population for the U.S. is the spot where the U.S. would theoretically balance if it were perfectly flat and everybody weighed the same. You know, it's just kind of a balancing point for how the population is balanced in the country. In 1790 was the first year they measured this, and the mean center of population was in Kent County, Maryland. Since then, they measured it every decade with the census, and each decade it's been moving progressively west.
Right.
So here are my questions. During which decade, from 1790 through now, did the mean center of population move the most westward? And during which decade did it move the least westward?
Was it the...
And if you think about our history, it makes sense.
Was the most westward in the 1930s?
No.
Oh, okay.
So...
The Depression,
I'm thinking
people
the Dust Bowl and...
Might
yeah.
be...
Well,
the railroad.
The war, maybe. The
war pushed people west.
Or the 50s, when a lot of people moved to the suburbs and
but not necessarily the western states.
Maybe
right.
the
right.
gold rush in 1850?
That's it exactly.
Nice. Very good. Very good.
The most, 1850 to 1860, was the mean center population moved 80 miles west
cool.
in one decade.
Okay.
And now the least. So
the least.
That could have been during the war.
Which means, if you think about it, moving the least west means heavier population in the east.
Mm-hmm.
Or people just being stable and not moving at all? Would that be...
Or not moving.
Because I would think during both wars, people didn't move
well,
much.
Well,
if is that
you had
right?
heavier population in the east, then that imply that it was 1780 to 1790 or something like that?
Ed? Hear that?
No, okay. no. I mean, well, it does mean that, but there was another decade more eastward, east heavy.
And in the decade you're talking about, did the population center move eastward or just not
no,
move much
it,
west?
No, it has always it has always moved westward, but during this decade it moved the least west.
So are we talking about the 19th century now?
No.
They're talking
about
the
1920s.
20th century.
The 1920s. You're close.
1930s.
1910 to 20.
Oh, yeah. 1910 to 20.
Yeah,
right.
So pre-Depression.
Which I think was due to probably, European immigration.
Right. Yeah, very good. Good question.
And now, one last piece of this is, in which decade was the mean center of population the most southern?
And where was that?
I didn't write that down. I don't know. I think it's somewhere...
most southern.
Wouldn't that have been very early in the well, the very late 18th century or the very early 19th century when there was a
makes sense
the higher population density in the south than I think almost in,
no.
Okay.
So is this also in the 20th century?
Actually, no.
Okay.
19th century. Hmm.
So would it have been the first decade after the Civil War?
No. Think about Laurie's last question. And don't make an assumption.
Oh, I asked if it was in the 20th century. Oh, is it in the 21st century?
It is the 21st
Oh,
century.
Wow. All right.
It's right now.
Oh, really? It's, okay. it's now.
And actually, I did write it down. It's Texas County, Missouri.
Wow.
Oh, where our current mean of population is.
All right. All right. Texas County.
Thank you, Ed. Appreciate it.
Okay. Thanks a lot.
Hey, you don't ask me any movie questions anymore.
I've got a good movie poster question for you for next week.
All right. Thanks.
All right.
Bye-bye. And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. We're going to quickly go over any questions that have not been answered yet, and then we'll get back to calls. So, Cameron, we'll start with you.
Okay. I have, what is the name of the synthetic material created in the blast of an atomic bomb? And then I have the original band names for the Square Roots and the Screaming Abdabs. What bands were those the original names for? And I believe those are my only two that are left out.
And Laurie?
I have in 1900, I'm looking for the most popular or second most popular girls' names that begin with these letters. U, and we have Ursula, so we're looking for the other one. O, we don't have either. Z, we got Zelda, and they're looking for another. We have neither of the Vs. And we got Bertha for B, I'm looking for the other. And then the first chapter, I've been looking for a chapter name. In this case, it's the first chapter of a young adult or children's book. And the only one left is Into the Primitive. It's the first chapter of a well-known young adult kind of book that adults also read.
All right. And I have some advertising taglines. As an example, if I were to say Wendy's 1984, you would say, where's the beef? The ones we have left are Miller Beer, 1950, Packard Cars, 1925, and Clairol, 1964. And that's it. I think all my other questions have been answered. So, Lori, I think it's your turn, actually.
All right. Ah, we're back to names. So I'm going to give you the names of five countries, and I want to know what the most popular surname in that country is.
All right.
In America, it's Smith. I have the top three for each, but I'm looking for, and these, since I was in Europe recently, these are all European countries: Austria, Denmark, France, Germany, and Italy. So I'm looking for the most common, and I won't call it popular, the most common surname in Austria, Denmark, France, Germany, and Italy. I'm looking for the top one, but if you give me any of the top three, Dana will give you a bell.
Isn't France, it's Martin?
It is Martin. That's the top one. Very nice.
And Cameron, go ahead.
With a question or what?
No, with the guess. You had a guess. I don't know that I have a guess.
With a surname answer. Of Austria, Denmark, Germany, Italy, or if we know the other two French ones, that'd be great.
Denmark. Is Anderson?
No.
Germany. It's not Schmidt, is it?
Schmidt is second, so I'll give you half a bell for that one.
All right. Okay, I'll stop that.
Okay, so we're looking for the most common surnames in Austria, Denmark. We have France. Dana got Martin. The other two were Bernard and Dubois. Germany and Italy.
All right. Let me give you two quick questions here. I asked the Bullwinkle question earlier. I couldn't ask another Bullwinkle question because I would give it away.
Yeah.
But Rocky, Bullwinkle, Bart, and Homer Simpson all have the same middle initial.
J.
J is correct.
Very nice.
Very good. Excellent. And by the way,
is it
Bart,
just a letter? Or
Bart and
the
Homer
name?
Simpson were tribute. That was a tribute to Rocky and Bullwinkle.
Oh, is that right?
They
oh,
used the J.
Interesting.
And is it the letter J or the name J?
Just the letter J.
No, I think it's Homer James, but I don't.
Oh, is it?
I don't know that for sure.
Okay.
I could be
all right.
making that up.
Right. It's something to do with J Ward too. All right. In that case, what is the last play Shakespeare wrote by himself with a single word title?
By himself, he didn't write. He didn't collaborate with anybody. So
supposedly,
just, yeah. So is it? It's The Tempest.
It is not.
Oh, and that's
two not
words.
A single word
okay.
title.
All right.
Cymbeline.
That is correct.
Yeah, very nice. All right. Getting the Shakespeare. Great.
That was a guess. Yeah,
that's a good
guess. Dark.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay. Got to do better now. What lead actor and actress played the same role the most times in feature films? And it was together.
Together.
Yes.
So is it Your Thin Man?
Is it William Powell? No.
Oh, not William Powell and Myrna Loy. Okay. So more than that, because those six or seven?
Right. Eight, I think.
Yeah.
Is it eight? I'm not sure. What lead actor and actress played the same roles the most times in feature films together?
Okay. Is it Ma and Pa Kettle?
No.
Okay. More than them, huh? Were they more than The Thin Man? Probably.
Yes. I'd have to
think about that. And these are feature films.
American feature films.
Yeah.
So once more, what lead actor and actress played the same roles the most times in feature films?
Are they playing themselves?
They are not playing themselves.
And are the roles, is the fictional character better known than the actor and actor? Because if you'd ask me,
yes.
Ma and Pa Kettle.
Yes.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
So this is a series of
characters
films.
Are extremely well known.
Yeah. And these are...
Still today, by the way.
Feature films. Did they end up on radio or TV, too?
I think they were on radio. Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah. Not Fibber McGee and Molly.
It's not Fibber McGee and Molly. It might have been on TV. It was on TV, too.
Wow.
Yeah.
And same two played them.
Maybe initially, but not later on.
That's a great question.
That is a good question.
Yeah.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi there. It's Tom in Oakland.
Hi, Tom.
Hi. How about that lead actor and actress? Is that, I wouldn't know the names, but are they like Blondie and Dagwood?
It is Blondie and Dagwood.
Oh, it is.
Wow. Yes, Blondie and Dagwood. But I'll let somebody else come up with the names.
And how many films?
28.
No.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know that. I remember they were on all the time on Channel 9 when I was a kid.
Ah.
Southern California. Let's see. The Miller beer slogan, is that It's Miller Time?
No. Actually,
The Packard slogan, that's not It's Packard time.
No.
Time to get a new Packard.
Yep, every 2 years, right?
Right.
Some guesses for the popular girls' names for, oh, how about Olive?
Yes, that's the second most popular. Very nice.
Yay. For V, how about Veronica?
Not Veronica.
Veruca?
Not Veruca. Maybe
for B, I'll guess Beatrix?
Not Beatrice. She's third.
Third. How about Bernice?
Bernice is like fifth in the list, but we're not number. We're looking for number two.
Well, and I can't even, aside from Ursula, I can't even think of another U.
Name. Yep, and you probably wouldn't think of this one either. It's pretty rare.
You Betcha starts with Y, I think.
Yeah, in 1900.
About Una, not Una.
Una. That's right.
Una?
Una.
UNA. I was going to say Una Merkel.
Una Merkel. I think it's Una. Very right. nice. Give yourself a bell. Good.
All right.
How
sorry.
About Virginia?
Yes, Virginia's second most popular V.
There you go.
All right.
I'm sorry. We didn't mean to talk over
your name. No, no problem. For Z, how about, I couldn't think too much, but Zazu?
Nah, really good guess and a great name, but not number one.
Yeah. Or Zizix is the only thing I could think of. That's
many,
never right.
Yeah, not many Zizix is.
Let's see, and I think... Oh, the glass substance after atomic blast is trinitium.
I have trinitite, but I will give that to you.
That's pretty close.
From the Trinity.
The Trinity test site.
Oh,
yes.
Very good. Excellent.
Yeah, I took a trip. I went out there about 5 years ago.
Did you find any?
No, you can't actually go on the site except on, they have like on a guided tours like twice a year. You can go out to the center. But there's like a rock, store. There are lots of little stores, not lots, but there's a few stores selling it.
Sure.
I didn't stop in.
That's right.
And let's see.
You'll never have children, but you'll have a souvenir.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I don't know what the legality of that is. You can put it in your watch, I suppose, make it glow at night. So I have a question. I found this. The BBC did a poll last year of 177 film critics around the world and came up with the top 100 films that have been released since the year 2000. And I wonder if you can name them. No. If you can name I was saying the top film, and then there are four films on the list that were animated. Can you name the four animated films?
Oh, since the year 2000. The top 100 films since the year 2000?
And these are
by critics.
The animated ones. How about the Triplets of Belleville?
No.
Oh.
That's an eclectic guess.
Yeah.
I love that movie.
It's going to be something Pixar.
Yeah.
How about Up or
Toy Story?
Toy Story.
No, neither one.
Neither one.
Or Aladdin.
That wasn't. That was pre.
No, Aladdin.
Oh, that's you're right. Okay, I'm sorry.
Which is the one with the popular girl song, you know?
Frozen?
Yeah, Frozen.
No, not Frozen.
Okay. And the top film itself since 2000, right? So this would be... Whew.
Did this film win was it nominated for Best Picture? Did it win Best Picture?
It was nominated. It did not win, I don't believe. No.
And...
Yeah. How about... What did critics love? Avatar?
Mm. Oh, no. I don't think Avatar was even on the top 100.
This is off a subjective stuff.
Well,
you said it didn't win an Academy Award?
It was nominated, but didn't
win. It was nominated, and it may have won for either screenplay or director, possibly.
And that's the top one or the top animated
one? That's the top one.
And then we need four animated.
What kind of film is it?
It is a...
What's the genre?
Cinema film.
There's a what?
A cinema film.
It's kind of categorize.
Kind of artsy?
Fairly artsy, yeah.
How about...
American.
What? No campers and being killed by slashers.
How about Boyhood?
Boyhood. Boyhood was in the top five, I think. I think it was number five.
I don't know. I hate to let you down, but I don't think we know.
We should be guessing. Animated.
Should know the animated.
Yeah.
Well, tell us the number one film, anyway.
The number one, Mulholland Drive.
Ugh. No.
Seriously?
No. All right. The whole list is discredited.
Yeah. Okay.
And I like that movie.
Well, again, that's internationally, it did very well.
So now the four animated. Yeah,
that's true. Internationally, it might have been a Jerry Lewis movie.
Yeah.
not since 2000.
Yeah.
And it's a lot about Hollywood, and they love that kind of thing.
Okay. What about Waking Life, then?
For the animated, yeah. No, it wasn't on there. I think that was before 2000.
It actually came out the same year as Mulholland Drive, and I saw it in a double feature, which was a weird double feature.
Ooh, yeah.
all right, fill in the gaps for us.
Okay, so the animated films, there were three Pixar ones. There's Ratatouille.
Oh, WALL-E. Is that the top?
WALL-E. WALL-E was the top, top American anime.
Sure.
The top one was, the other was Finding Nemo.
Okay.
Those and Ratatouille came in the 90s, like 93 and 96. And the top rated one was four. It was a Japanese anime called Spirited Away.
Okay. Sure.
All right. I'm sorry we didn't do better.
Fantastic movie.
By your question, by the way.
Yeah.
No problem. Boy, you wanted a movie question.
Right.
Thanks a bunch.
I have to be careful what I ask for. thank you very much.
That was your birthday present.
Yeah, that was my birthday present. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter. Are you there?
Hi.
Hi.
Oh, hi. Is it me?
It is you.
Okay, great. This is Janice. Okay, I've got a bunch of different answers. Right. For names, I have Vivian.
No, not That's Vivian. Good. That's a great guess. Yeah.
For B, I have Bertha.
Bertha was number one. We had that, but we're looking for the second one.
Oh,
you have another B? That's right.
For Shakespeare, I have Othello.
That's yours, Dana.
Oh, that's right. I asked the Cameron actually got the answer to it. The question was the last play Shakespeare wrote by himself with a single word title, and it was Cymbeline. Cymbeline.
Okay, sorry, I apologize.
No, that's okay. That's
away
fine.
From my thing.
That's all right.
Okay, and then last slogans. Miller is if you've got the time, we've got the beer.
No, not that.
It's later, I think. Yeah.
Okay, Clairol because I'm worth it.
No. I'm sure you are, but that's not it.
All right. And so to have symmetry, I want the top three baby names in 2016. Because
for boys and
for
girls?
For boys and girls?
Boys and girls.
I know Jacob is very big.
Nope.
I'm going to go with Henry.
No.
Oh.
No?
How about Noah?
Nope. That's good.
Oh.
Wasn't Sophia very high on the list?
Yes, it's number one.
That, all right. That was
and
it.
And Isabella?
No.
No, interesting. Emma?
And
Emma, yes.
Emma,
oh,
yes.
Wow. So Sophia and Emma.
Boys' names. Boys' names. Gosh, Jacob was big for a long time.
Jacob
yeah.
was number one for quite a while.
How about William? Because that includes Liam.
No.
Which is popular. Neither one.
And I had a clue in the beginning. I said for symmetry.
Oh.
So there's a hint in there.
So what's symmetrical with the girls' names? Is that where the symmetry is?
How about Emmett?
Wow. No.
So what's Lauren, Sophia, and Lauren?
No.
Emma and Emmett, Sophia.
Well, you haven't gotten any boys.
No, no boys. But we're looking for symmetry.
Luke? No.
That's close.
How about
Lucas?
Yes. Lucas is number three.
Wow. Right.
How about Oliver?
No.
Lucas. Yeah. Oh, all right.
Jack. You need a hint.
Okay. Jack. So, wasn't there a girl's name from the 1900s? The early?
We had Bertha, Virginia, Zelda, Olive, Ursula, and Una are the ones that people got.
Okay. Well, the number three is sounds like Olive.
Olivia.
Yes,
that's
number three.
That's great.
And the first boy's name can be shortened into a nickname. It starts with a J.
Jack.
Yes, but
John.
John.
Well, no, it's Jack something.
Jackson.
Yep.
Really?
Interesting.
Jackson's number one?
Yeah.
Wow.
Very good.
2016. Yeah. And then the only one left is the number two boy. And it's sort of an, is it Irish? It's either something like Irish, but it's become very popular.
Aiden.
Yes.
Wow.
Good job.
Nice job.
All right, thank you.
Thank you very much.
This is my preschool teacher background.
That's right.
Coming in handy.
All right.
Going through the list at your school.
Yeah. And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. We're here, every Sunday at 7 p.m. Hope you're enjoying the show. A few minutes left. We'll take as many calls as we can. Let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi there.
Hi.
Hi, this is Miss Butterfly from Oakland.
Hi.
Hi, the Screaming Abdads is Pink Floyd.
It is indeed.
Excellent.
Pink
Floyd.
Wow.
Thanks, friends. And then Square Roots, that would be the Roots.
That is the Roots.
That's
excellent.
They took out the square, huh?
They sure did. Way less nerdy.
Yeah. And then is Violet a name for V?
Ooh, Violet is close to the name for V.
How about Viola?
Viola.
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 Oh,
give them a bell for that.
You were close
Viola
enough.
In Virginia.
Yeah. Right.
Nice.
Do I have time to ask a question?
Very quick. Go ahead.
Okay. What British synth pop duo from 1981 were only together for 2 years and then reunited in 2008?
Oh,
after 25 years of splitting up.
Was this Wham? George Michael and...
No.
No?
It's
so
1981. 1981, they were a band from 1981 to 1983, and then they split up.
And they're British.
And they're British, and they rock.
And they rock, and you love them.
I totally love them, yes. And they played their very first North American show at the Paramount in Oakland in 2008, and I went.
Is it two men?
It's a lady and a man.
Lady and a man.
And and they met on a newspaper ad that the lady put out, and they made two amazing albums together, but they had a clash of personalities and horrible communication. So they went their separate ways, and then 25 years later,
not
they
Belle and Sebastian.
They're too
young.
Too young.
Did they have separate careers? Were they stars? Separate? They did.
Oh, yeah.
So they had.
He went on to form another amazing duo, and he's also the keyboardist of another amazing band.
He sounds amazing.
Yeah, it does. And now you better fill in the blank for us.
Wow,
it's a good question.
Okay. So it's Alison Moyet and Vince Clark. Vince Clark was the keyboardist of Depeche Mode and Erasure.
Wow.
And their band, they called Yazoo, but they had to change it to Yaz because there's a Yazoo Records.
Oh, there is a Yazoo Records, yeah.
For legal reasons, they wanted them to change it. But I highly recommend listening to their
It's a great recommendation.
Upstairs at Eric's and You and Me Both.
All right.
They weren't the Young Aborigines, right?
No.
We don't have that.
No. Thank you very much.
We do have that. That was the Beastie Boys.
Oh. Yeah. Thanks for calling. Appreciate it very much.
Okay. Have a great night.
Thank you. You too. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter. Are you there, caller? Next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello?
Hi, you're on.
Hi. Okay, this is Glenn in San Francisco.
Hi, Glenn.
Hey. So, I have a question for you.
All right.
Which mammal has the most sensitive taste buds?
Which mammal
has... Dana's pit bull.
Yeah, right. which mammal has the most sensitive taste buds?
Yeah.
Huh.
Will this surprise us?
Probably not.
Is it a human being?
Yeah, I was thinking that.
No.
Oh, all right. Then, is it a domesticated animal?
Sometimes.
Sometimes.
A pig.
No.
Does this make them fussy eaters?
What's that?
Does them having the most sophisticated taste buds make them real fussy eaters? Are they picky, or are they
not
more omnivorous?
Like a goat?
I think they're easy to please.
I'm going to go with the cat. How about the feline?
No.
Okay.
Oh. We're almost out of time, Glenn. What is it? I'm sorry.
Yeah. Monkeys.
Monkeys.
All right.
So the surnames for Denmark, about Larsen?
Larsen, no. Not for Denmark.
Peterson?
Nope.
All right. And first names for women? First name's Vivian?
No. For the top one was Viola, and the second one was Virginia.
And do we get the actors who play Pauline and Jagwood? Did that come up?
No, but do you know it?
Oh, yeah.
Go ahead.
Arthur Lake and Penny Singleton.
That is correct.
Oh, nice.
Excellent. Thank you very much, Glenn.
And then another beer tagline, because that'd be champagne and bottled beer.
That is the champagne bottled beer. Very good. Glad you got that, too.
And then there was one more thing I missed. Darn it. Oh, the Clairol. Well, your hairdresser knows for sure.
No, not that.
Okay, all right.
Thanks, Glenn.
Next time.
Is it true blondes have more fun?
That is not it. And time to clean up here. Cameron, what do we have?
I have nothing left out. I need to up my game.
All right.
I have Austria's most popular surname is Gruber. Denmark is Nielsen. Germany is Muller. Italy is Rossi. Into the Primitive is the first chapter of Call of the Wild, and the names were missing. The most popular name for O in 1900 for girls was Opal. Z, believe it or not, was Zelma, and the missing B name was Bessie.
Wow.
Bessie. Okay. Packard Cars, their advertising tagline, ask the man who owns one.
Ah.
And Clairol, 1964, was does she or doesn't she?
Oh. Only your hairdresser knows.
Only your hairdresser
sure.
knows for sure. Yeah. I think everything else was answered. Anyway, if we didn't get your call, we do apologize. Please remember that Minds Over Matter is here every Sunday at 7 p.m. Our thanks tonight to our panel, Cameron Shaw. Thank you very much, Cameron.
Thank you, Dana.
And, of course, Lori Fisher. Thank you very much, Lori. I've been your moderator, Dana Rodriguez. Our thanks to Steve Wilcott and David Latuli for handling the board and phones tonight. And above all, our thanks to you for taking the time to tune in and call in. Have a great week, everybody. And we hope you will be here to join us again next Sunday at 7 p.m. Thanks a lot. Take care. Bye-bye.
Hi, Jerry.
If you ain't wrong, you're right. If it ain't day, it's night. If you ain't sure, you might. It's gotta be this or that.